Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Everywhere Jesus went, people with afflictions and diseases came to him or were brought to him by caring friends. Jesus, because of his divine compassion, healed them to reveal his Father's heart toward the people of this world and to bring glory to his Father's name. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 7 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 31 through 37.
Here's this man. Think of this. He's been ignored all of his life. He's been scorned. He's been disdained. He probably has not been given real personal care and attention. Jesus takes him aside and he wants him to know, you're not insane. You're not being judged. You just can't hear. And I'm going to make you hear. He's going to touch his tongue. He's going to say, you're not crazy. You're not cursed. You can't speak. And my Father is going to give you the ability to speak today. You're just not a face in the crowd, as far as Jesus is concerned. You're just not some kind of a church membership number. You're not a social security number. You are a person that has been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And you're either not saved, about to get saved, or you are saved. And God, when he ministers to you, he has your full attention. Now, I can't always say that when God puts someone in front of me that they have my full attention. Sometimes I'm distracted. Unfortunately, that happens on a Sunday morning. I'm talking to Ron, and for example, and then say my brother Joe or Steve walks behind me, and I'm looking like this, and all of a sudden I go from Ron to Joe, and I wonder what's going on and how much time before the next service. And Ron's probably thinking, oh, Pastor Ray, I was talking to you. No. When you go to the Lord, you have his full attention. When you call upon him today, wherever you are, it's you and him alone. Just you and him alone. Same Jesus. Same miracle-working Jesus. Same compassionate Jesus. So here he is. And he does this unusual stuff. Can you imagine seeing this for the first time? Now think of it. Try to think of it, honestly. Here's Jesus. Here's this man that's hearing impaired, puts, and then touches him, touches his tongue. I have no doubt. This is just thus saith Raymond. So you know what that means? Underline it and say, uh-oh. Take it with a pound of salt. I have this feeling that every time Jesus did something unorthodox or unusual, the religious community of the day would have said, well, where do you see that in the Bible? That should teach us a lesson. That there are times when God will allow things to be done that you and I may consider to be unorthodox or unusual or strange. Be careful. Be careful before you pull the trigger of judgment. Jesus' ministry and methodology were called into question by the cold, dead religious community of the day. And so here he is, ministering to this man and looking up to heaven. Many have saw this as Jesus indicating to this man that what you are about to see is coming to you directly from my Father. And looking up to heaven indicates how Jesus was always in tune with the Father. There was a month or so ago, we talked about noise. There's the noise of the crowd. There's the noise of the world. There's the noise of the people. What we need to hear is the voice of the Lord. Calm in the storm. Father, is this what you want me to be doing? Is this how you want me to do it? Is this where you want me to go? And when Jesus heard from the Father, he didn't ask for a vote. And many of the things that Jesus did from the Father were not very popular. Think of it. After 3 years of ministering on earth, and there may have been a few others in the upper room, he had a church that was about a half a size of the people that are here today in this service. So here's Jesus moving powerfully. He looks up to heaven. He sighs. He sighs. He's grieving for this man. There's a sigh of grief, and yet there's this sigh of wonder because he knows that this man is going to be set free. And all that he's suffered and all that he's struggled for years, we don't know how many years, he's going to be set free. Jesus delights in setting people free. Do you know that? You know, the subject of healing and miracles is unfortunately a topic of great debate even in the church today, with some warrant, and some of it is just, to me, it's a lot of nonsense. Let me say this. The subject of healing and miracles are controversial, except for the ones who have been healed or received the miracle. When you've received a miracle or have been healed, it doesn't matter what anybody says about their theology. When you've been healed, you know, don't tell me that I wasn't healed September 28th, 1975 at 8:10 p.m. Don't you dare tell me. I don't care what your systematic theology tells you. I was healed. I know who did it, and I am so thankful for that. And you can debate me and argue me and send me a book that this is not for today. Bye-bye. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yet, it's not so much the supernatural, the miracle. This is the compassion of the Father on display. Everybody that Jesus touched, everybody that Jesus ministered to, we see often in the scriptures how Jesus was moved with compassion. He would see the multitudes, and he would be moved with compassion. Right? He would see them as sheep without a shepherd, and he would minister to them, and he would care for them, and he would love them. What a great, 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 great Savior and shepherd. You know, the power of God is often released in our lives when you and I are moved with compassion. You realize that? When you and I reach out in compassion, there's a power of Jesus Christ that is released to people that are hurting. You know that. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. That can read this way, approved are those who mourn over their sins and the sins of the world. He said, blessed are the merciful. That can read, approved are those with a merciful, compassionate spirit. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And we're, as believers, given the Spirit to be conformed into His image, right? So He's our example. He's the pattern. So how will we feel this kind of compassion for those who are hurting or needy? I know of only one way, by going through life-wrenching difficulties ourselves. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, many of you have probably read this verse, highlighted this verse, memorized this verse. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many of you have experienced that today? Why does God allow us to have migraine headaches or to be smitten with cancer or to lose a loved one or to see a business fail? Why? Why? That's just life, isn't it? That's just life. Did you ever pray, Lord, use me? I'm sure you have. Did you ever ask the Lord to make your life count, to keep it from becoming mundane and irrelevant? Just a Sunday or a Sunday morning weekend Christian? Well, let me suggest to you, beloved, that part of the answer to that question is that the Lord often allows us to go through difficulties in order that we too, like Jesus, might sigh for them, hurt with them, feel your heart, have a heart that really feels for them. There really is no other way. There's something about going through difficulties in life that changes your heart. There's nothing like going through something and ministering to someone that's going through the same thing. I want to give you an example of how I learned this right in this very church. I'll tell you, down in the Agape Hall, there was a sister in the Lord, and she was mega pregnant. It was in the summertime. I remember that. And this sister is sweet on steroids. But I could tell that she was just about ready to deliver that baby. And so El Pastor goes up to her. And he says, "Honey, how are you today?" "Oh, Pastor, you don't know how I feel." I said, "I know how you feel." She grabbed my shirt and says, "You have no idea how I feel." Whoa! Right, ladies? Right? Right? No idea! Now, if my wife went up to her, right, and says, "Honey, how you do?" "Oh, honey." Oh. She go, "Oh, Lizzie." Lizzie would say, "I know." And Lizzie would say to me, those things that you've gone through, those hardships, those difficulties, whatever you want to call it, they're never in vain. I would never say that they were caused by the Lord, but the Lord will use those things to minister to others. You know, in the few years that I've been in ministry, one thing that I have found is this: that the most loving and kind and compassionate and understanding and forgiving people that I've ever met are people who have personally experienced the love and the kindness and the understanding and the compassion of Jesus Christ in gut-wrenching situations. And those who haven't, unfortunately, are just like the scribes and Pharisees, who know all the answers but are stone cold when it comes to compassion. Jesus says to this man, "Ephatha," one word, and bam, whatever. One word. One word. That's all the Lord has to say to you today is one word. Be healed. Be delivered. Be saved. Be filled with the Spirit. One word. Just one. Just one. Straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plainly. Now, thank God for medical facilities and all that we have at our that we can have access to. Thank God for that. I would never diminish the medical profession, but they can only do so much. They can only take you so far. It's only Dr. Jesus that can do the thorough, complete work. Notice here that there is no therapy. He doesn't have to go to a language class to learn Aramaic or Greek. He's speaking it. He's hearing it. God has done a miracle. In fact, when it says here in verse 35 that he spake plain or plainly, in the Greek, it's orthos, from where we get the word orthopedics. He straightened it out. He corrected it. He did it all at once. That's powerful. It's like the day you were born again. God breathed into your soul and said, "Let there be life." Boom. What hit me? There's no progression here. He couldn't hear. Now he hears. He couldn't speak. Now he speaks. His tongue was loosed. And there are those who say that this may have been a case of something that was done by a demon, because in Luke 13, verse 16, the same terminology is used. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed?" So if that is the case, once again, Jesus setting an image bearer of God free from demonic possession. So he does this miracle, and then he says, "Don't tell anybody." Yeah, right. Right? Yeah, I won't tell anybody. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. I don't think that that bothered Jesus at all. But there is a question that I have. This is what I would call an agonizing command. We would expect them to obey, but they didn't. But may I suggest to you something? Why didn't he say, or why would he have suggested, don't tell anyone? Now, this is just speculation. So, you know, when I say speculation, that means what? Zero. Let me give you what I think. Because the miracle in and of itself is not the main message that Jesus came to give or Jesus wants us to proclaim. In other words, don't go spreading the message that I'm only a healer or a miracle worker. Are you going to turn what I've come to earth to do into a circus? And whenever the full message of the gospel is not preached, that's what happens. You know, it would be like you or me having one part of the gospel story. Jesus was born of a virgin, came into the world, did miracles, healed people, preached the kingdom of God, and that's it. Is that it? Oh, no. We're missing the most vital part. That doesn't include the cross, and it doesn't include the resurrection. That's the whole message. Now, thanks be unto God that we're on this side of the cross, and we can preach the gospel. We can preach his death, his burial, and resurrection, and we can proclaim today that God is a God who still does miracles. Amen? God is a God who still does healing. God is a God who still does marvelous and wonderful works amongst his people. But the greatest miracle is the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save us from the debt of our sin, to save us from slavery to sin, and to secure for us by grace through faith in him a place in heaven. But I'm thankful for the provision that he's made for us to pray with one another today. I won't need a miracle when I'm in heaven. I won't need healing when I'm in heaven. I won't need deliverance from demons when I'm in heaven. When do you need that? Now. So Jesus didn't die on the cross. Okay, I died for your sins. I'm going to heaven. See you there. Bye-bye. He's alive and well here today. He's alive and well here today. And when they heard, when they saw what he did, they were astonished beyond measure. And they said, he has done all things well. I love that. He has done all things well. In other words, look at the blind, they can see. Look at the lame, they walk. Look at the deaf, they hear. Look at the mute, they talk. Look at what Jesus does. Following this touch, there was a mass testimony of the power of Jesus Christ. Now, this is interesting. In Mark chapter 5, these people that are going out and telling everybody now, these were the very same people who had asked Jesus to depart from their coast on account of the loss of the swine. What happened? The one guy that was delivered, he did what Jesus told him to do. He said, hey, forget about the swine. Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus gave me a new life. Jesus made me sound. Jesus set me free. And one by one, the word got out. You see, that's still the best form of evangelism. You can pack stadiums. You can go on internet. The best and most effective testimony is one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart. Jesus Christ has set me free. Jesus Christ has delivered me. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ has made me a new creature. And when the Lord says, Ephatha to you, you will be an evangelist on steroids. I mean, I remember, wasn't planning on getting into this, but since I have the microphone, I might as well. I can remember getting saved, and my profession was I was a professional musician. What am I going to do? I'm under contract. I'm surrounded by darkness, but I am so, whatever. But, yeah. And I would bring a bag of tracts and Bibles and pass them out. And church people are telling me, you can't go there and do that. Well, then you go there and do that. They're lost. And people were coming to Christ. And people were coming up to the band with prayer requests, not song requests. Can you imagine that? Very unorthodox. Very unorthodox. We don't do things like that in this church. Well, then I'll go to another one. When you get touched by the Lord, when you're set free by the Lord, again, when you've experienced regeneration or a miracle from the Lord, you do not need the approval to share that testimony from anyone. Christ wants you to share that testimony. He wants you to share that experience. It's interesting when they said he has done all things well. Isaiah 35 verses 5 and 6 is a passage that prophesies of the coming of the Messiah. And when he would come to this earth, that's what he would do. The eyes of the blind would be opened, the ears of the deaf would be unstopped. But here's the thing, miracles don't mean that you won't have these lapses in your faith. Because remember John the Baptist, Jesus said there is no man greater than John the Baptist. Yeah? He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, wouldn't you think that the guy that baptizes God incarnate is probably never going to forget who he baptized? John gets put into prison, right? He gets put into prison. He's probably in prison thinking, as I would think, okay, he's going to come any moment. Clark Kent, he's going to go into the phone booth. He's going to put on his Superman outfit. He's going to fly here to me. Bam! Out! John's praying. Doesn't happen. John gets beheaded. But before that happens, John in prison sends two of his disciples, and he says, you remember that guy that I baptized? Yeah. Remember the one that I said, he that is after me has come before me, for he was before me? You know, what are you talking about? He upon whom the dove rested is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Go ask him if he's the Messiah. Excuse me? And what did Jesus say? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, you may never understand in this life why things are ending the way they are here, but this is not the end of the story. The best is yet to come. Do you believe that today? So on one hand, while we will pray for one another and expect God to do the miraculous, because he does the miraculous. When that doesn't happen, that doesn't shake our faith. We don't lower the standard. We realize that ultimately the best is yet to come for those who are in Christ. But if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, the best is not yet to come. The worst will come unless today you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And if and when you do, God will give you eternal life. That phrase, he does all things well. You know, beloved, he still does all things well, doesn't he? Let me ask you, are you broken today? Is your body racked with a disease or some kind of a physical congenital condition? If so, we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is here to touch you. And it's not a matter of his ability. Lord, make them whole. We want to pray with you. We want to anoint you with oil. Are you here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Master, as your King? You know, we live in a day and age where there's all kinds of oils and all kinds of food and all kinds of things that people give us to make us look good and eat well. But you could be the best looking 85-year-old and you're still going to die. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. We can't fix anything. Us, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, all we can do is be conduits. The only one that can save you, heal you, restore you is Jesus Christ. And we urge you today, call upon him. Call upon him and trust in him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.